Good morning, everybody. What an awesome day today is. It's so special. This is such a special day for us as Christians. It actually just makes me rather emotional when I begin to think what Jesus did for you and I. He loved us so much. He just opened his arms up and died for you and I. This morning I want to look at the wonder of Jesus' crucifixion. I want us to just briefly look at it and ask ourselves several questions as to why the crucifixion. If you would, I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to John 19, verse 31 through 37. John chapter 19. We're going to begin reading at verse 31. Now it was a day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath. And they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. When they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another Scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Excuse me. Someone once saw a poster promoting a blood drive. It went like this. I gave my blood, Christ gave his. I give a pint, he gave all. The needle is very small and sharp. The nails were large and dull. The table soft and restful. The cross rough, painful. The nurses kind, gentle. The soldiers cruel, mean. Crowd applauds my sacrifice. They that pass by revile him. Mine is O positive, his for positively all. Mine at best will prolong a life for a while. His without doubt can save all forever. What an awesome little poster that would make. You know, folk, the Bible's been, many people have observed the Bible as being a book just filled with blood. In fact, another person commented that if you cut the Bible anywhere, it will bleed. And from the book of Genesis all the way through to Revelation, blood is a major part of the picture. In Genesis 3, we find God making the first sacrifice. When Adam and Eve sinned, God sacrificed an animal to provide skin to cover their nakedness. In the New Testament, we're told that the blood of Jesus, the last sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, is offered by God to cover the nakedness of our sins. Many of our old hymns talk lovingly of the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And as we look at that, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? What can make me white as snow? No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This hymn, like many others, are declaring that the story we read in John 19 isn't just about Jesus bleeding and suffering and his death. Oh no, the story is why Jesus suffered. And I believe that's the questions we need to ask today. Why did he bleed? Why did he die? And why did Jesus bleed and suffer and die for us? What's so special about us that he did that? The Bible clearly teaches that throughout the blood of Jesus, without the blood of Jesus, there is no forgiveness for our sins. Ephesians 1:7 teaches that in him we have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In Revelation 1:5 declares that Jesus loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood. So by the blood of Jesus we have been freed from our sins, washed clean. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 through 19, it tells us, it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And where did Jesus shed his blood? The final 2 days of his life, Jesus shed his blood several times. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed so hard about his upcoming crucifixion that it is said that he literally perspired drops of blood. Then in Pilate's hall, after he had been arrested and gone through several trials, several ordeals and trials, standing before people, answering questions, being abused, he was brought to Pilate for the final time. And Pilate had Jesus beaten with whips. And folk, I want to tell you, the whips were embedded with bone sharp stones to bite into the flesh, to tear his muscles in his back. And Jesus shed his blood. Then the soldiers began to mock him and placed a crown with thorns on his head. Not so that it wouldn't pierce his skin. The Bible actually tells us that they gave him a little scepter of a reed. But they took that and they began to beat it down on this crown of thorns, driving the thorns deeper and deeper into his scalp, causing him to bleed from where the thorns went in. Later at Calvary, the soldiers drove nails in his hands and his feet. His blood was shed. And finally, when he died, a Roman soldier came up and pierced him with a spear in his side. And blood, the Bible says, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Again and again, Jesus shed his blood for us. The Bible clearly teaches that this was all on purpose. It wasn't an accident, it had been planned. So I want to ask the question today, do you believe that this is true? Why do you believe? What do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? And maybe it seems a facetious question, but I want us to make it a thought-provoking question. Why do you believe what you believe? That Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin? I never really thought about that question before. It took a couple of days of prayer and thinking before I knew the answer. You see, if I cut my arm or you cut your arm, we bleed. But we wouldn't bleed blood and water. We'd only bleed blood. The Bible says that when Jesus was on the cross, all the sin of mankind were brought to bear on his body in that one place, in that one time. The only thing that held his body up under the strain of the sin was the power of the Son of God. You see, Jesus is the Son of God. And it was only that power that was holding him to the cross that he could bear that sin. But when Jesus died, he didn't die from the cross itself. Scripture says that Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Thus, when Jesus gave up control over his body, it was like snapping a rubber band. All the sin of mankind bore down now on the body that was no longer held by his power. And it makes sense that his heart literally burst open, like a balloon popping open. When Jesus died on the cross, he was placed on the cross at 9 a.m. in the morning, and he died at 1500 or 3 in the afternoon. And what makes it so significant? Folk, I want us to realize this. At the temple, the first sacrifice was made at 9 o'clock in the morning. The last sacrifice was offered at 3 in the afternoon. Now, the Passover, we know, was a major event, a major day of sacrifice in the life of the Israelites. People were lined up around the block, ready to offer their lamb or whatever sacrifice that they were bringing to God. And we can imagine with all the sacrifice, there was a lot of blood on the altar and the floor and the utensils. How do you think they would remove that blood? See, they had some engineers around there. They thought up some ingenious plumbing idea where they got water out from below the temple and they washed it all down into pipes, and those pipes led out to the Kindron Valley. The liquid was then carried by trenches underneath the city walls to the Kindron Valley. And we know that the brook, Kindron Brook, runs between the city of Jerusalem and the Garden of Gethsemane. People that have visited the Holy Land have said that the banks of the Kindron are still red from the blood of so many sacrifices that have been made. Many farmers have gone to collect the mud because it's so fertile. It helps them grow their crops, makes the land fertile, rich fertilizer for their crops. Folk, if we had to place ourselves outside the walls of Jerusalem at about 3:30 in the afternoon, what do you think would be coming out of those pipes? Blood and water. You see, John didn't care. He didn't care. He commented about seeing the blood coming out of the side of Jesus. It wasn't all that important to him. What John wants us to and to prove, wants to prove and wants us to see that we need to know was that Jesus didn't have a single bone broken in his body. Why? Because Jesus was a sacrificial, was to be the ultimate, the final sacrificial lamb. And we know that you couldn't bring a lamb for sacrifice if there was anything wrong with it. If it had a broken bone, it wasn't acceptable. It had to be a perfect lamb. And Jesus was that perfect lamb. John knew that kind of lamb would be unacceptable to God if its bones were broken. So John says, I know Jesus was dead. I saw a Roman soldier pierce his side. Blood and water came out. Notice John wrote, the man who saw it has given testimony. His testimony is true. Why is his testimony true, folk? Because the man saw it with his own eyes. He knows that he tells the truth and he testifies so that you may also believe. And folk, I believe today it's time that we realize exactly what Jesus did for us. It's time for us to get up and start believing with the power, with all the power of heaven behind us and the authority that the world may know that Jesus is the Son of God. He did die for you and I. His blood is there to cleanse us from sin. And it's time for us to be alive, to wake up and realize that Jesus did it for you and I. He was that ultimate sacrifice. And that's why we believe. Believe what John wrote, what he wrote, so that you and I might believe this was not just a story. This is not just a story. These are facts. This is what happened to the Son of God for you and I some 2,000 years ago. That we might believe what happened to Jesus is not merely an accident of history. It's been planned. It was deliberate. God set it up for you and I. These things happened in John 19, 36, 37. These things happened so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And another says, they will look on the one they have pierced. In other words, these things had been prophesied. These things had all been decided centuries before Jesus Christ was born in Jerusalem. Had it been prophesied? Why had it been planned? Because the Bible teaches us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you're an elder, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're an evangelist, whatever you are, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. And throughout the Old Testament, the constant sacrifice of bulls and goats and sheep, God taught his people that something had to die in our place, in place of our sin. One of the most prominent of those days was the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. On that day, the high priest sacrificed an atoning sacrifice or cover both his and for the sins of the people. But Jesus didn't die on the Day of Atonement. He died on Passover because God intended to use that imagery of that story that is taught to us what Jesus had to come to do. What was that imagery? What was it? What was that image? About 3,500 years ago, Israel was in slavery in Egypt. I need to go on. And God sent Moses to Pharaoh to demand to let his people go. And I can just imagine what Pharaoh did. He laughed. Who's that God? Who's this God that you're talking about? Typical thing we're facing in the world today. Who's your God? So God politely introduced himself. See, we serve a God with manners. He politely introduces himself, and over the next few weeks, God brought 9 plagues upon Egypt to prove his power. The suffering in Egypt was so profound that the priests literally begged Pharaoh to let the people go. But he would not. He still refused. And so Pharaoh said to Moses, Pharaoh didn't say anything to Moses. God said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. And after that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. And then God instructed Israel to prepare a special meal. And that meal was called a Passover meal. Pastor Keith, I'd like us one year over Easter to prepare a Passover meal. That we as a church could celebrate that together in that way. It will be an awesome experience. A lot of research that needs to be done for it, but praise God. But this Passover meal wasn't just a meal. You see, the main course was lamb. A lamb without blemish. A lamb with no broken bones, just as John said. The blood of that lamb was painted on the doorposts, the lintels of their home. And God said, on that same night that I passed through Egypt and struck down every firstborn, both men and animals, I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on your house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. When God saw the blood of the lamb, he passed over those homes. The blood of the lamb was the only thing God saw. When God saw the blood, death did not visit that home. That blood of the lamb covered that household. You see, folk, I believe that we need to paint the doors, the lintels of our hearts with the blood of the Lamb so that Jesus might pass over. Because he's already paid the ultimate price for our sin. It's time that we wake up. It's time that we get on and do it. His blood is meant to cover our failures and our weaknesses. His blood, Jesus shed his blood specially to cover your and my sin. And when God comes again in judgment, Jesus' blood is the only thing he'll see that will spare us from his wrath. Jesus is coming again. And I want to tell you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the first day. Today is the day that you need to get down and begin to know him, that his blood might cover you, because he's coming and it's imminent. It's soon. His coming is soon. This morning as I close, I just want to close with this. Many years ago, in the city of Chicago, there was a great parliament of religion. Practically everyone knew religion was represented and may learn discourses as they were delivered. It helped to realize that everyone knew religion on the face of the earth except Christianity, which teaches, religion teaches that life is like a balance. When a person sins, one side of their balance is weighed down and must be counteracted by a good deed. See, that's what religion teaches us. The more evil a person does, the more good they need to do to balance out their life. You know, when I make that statement, it just makes me think, we're going to have to be goody-two-shoes. We're such evil people. The Bible says the heart of man is the most evil. I read something the other day that shook me to my roots. That God repented of creating man because of their sin. Fuck, that's awful. And if we have to be religious and have to do good deeds, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. When the time comes to have their life judged, if their good deeds outweigh their bad, they survive. So each religion in their turn stood up and presented their faith, trying to convince others that their faith was superior. Then during one session, there was a man by the name of Joseph Cook of Boston who suddenly rose and said, "Gentlemen, I beg to introduce you to a woman with great sorrow. Bloodstains are on her hands and nothing will remove them. The blood is that of murder and nothing will take away the stain. She's been driven to despair in her distress. Is there anything in your religion that will remove her sin and give her peace?" Suddenly there was a silence like in this church this morning. Over all those that had gathered, as the speaker turned from one to another for an answer, not one of the company replied. Raising his eyes to heaven, Dr. Cook then cried out, "I will ask another question. John, can you tell this woman how to get rid of her awful sin?" The great preacher waited as if listening for a reply. Suddenly he cried out, "Listen, John is speaking. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You see, folk, the theologies of all the world religions cannot deal with life of a person who has sinned so badly. That there is no way a sinner can ever atone for their own sin. Not one of us can atone for our sins. And in those religions, all is lost unless you live good enough to survive life. But I want to say this today. The blood of Jesus was shed so that all sinners, and folk, I'm not just talking about that David can be saved. I'm saying all, every last one of us, those that are out there as well, it is saying all sinners can be saved. Amen. And folk, I believe it's not just an amen. I believe it's a time to stand up, start dancing and rejoicing and say, "Oh, the precious blood that cleanses me. It's by the precious blood that I've been cleansed." So though those who the rest of the world would abandon as too evil to ever change would have the opportunity to repent of their sins and be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, rising up as a new creation. And folk, this morning, I want us to take note that it's by the blood of Jesus that we can sit here cleansed today. It's by the blood of Jesus and His blood alone. It's not a story. It's a truth. It's a reality. And folk, many times we look at the cross. Oh, that's just another story. For many people in the world, it is just a story. But you know, there's an inside story. And until you open that packet, until you see that that inside story is a chocolate, until you start tasting that chocolate, savoring it, you're not going to know the awesome truth that is there to set you free. It's the blood of Jesus that washes you clean. And that's the inside story this morning. On this Good Friday, let us rejoice and be glad. For Jesus died for you and I to wash us clean by His blood. Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, by Your blood and Your blood alone, can we stand here today? Yes, Father, I just get emotional as I begin to think of it. How You suffered. How You died for me and for each one here. How precious You are. How awesome You are. Sweet, sweet Lord Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. It makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Father, today, I just pray. You just pour out Your blood in this place. That whatever it is, whatever sin might be hidden away in our lives, that we might hand it over and that we might be cleansed by the blood of Jesus today. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.